From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. South Sudan's rival leaders, President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar, have called for a ceasefire aimed at ending several days of attacks believed to have killed hundreds and threatening to reignite the civil war. Michael Makuei-Lewith is the country's information minister.
All the commanders of these forces are hereby directed to cease any hostility and abide by this order, control their forces, and protect the civil population and their property. All the commanders of these forces are directed to control their forces and ensure protection of any ethnic group that may be targeted by some elements within their forces, and any SPLA-IO who surrenders to the SPLA must be protected.
The fighting has been condemned by the UN Security Council. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for an immediate arms embargo. U.S. spokesman John Kirby urged both sides to stand down.
I strongly urge that the two leaders do everything in their power to ensure these decrees will be fully respected and unfettered humanitarian assistance will be provided to those affected by the violence. In addition, we are moving out on all fronts to reduce the number of staff by implementing an ordered departure from our post.
Civil war, which erupted in South Sudan in December 2013, lasted 2 years, killing thousands, displacing millions. The Iranian judiciary Monday announced the indictments of three detained Iranian dual nationals and a Lebanese citizen, including a Briton, one from Canada, two from the U.S. No details about the charges revealed, no indication when they will stand trial. Iran does not recognize dual nationality. None of the accused has been allowed consular access. This is VOA News. North Korea Monday said it's cutting a channel of communication with the U.S. following last week's announcement in Washington, naming leader Kim Jong-un on a list of human rights abusers. The foreign ministry announced it's severing the last link used at its U.N. office in New York. Analyst James Kim of the South Korea-based Asan Institute for Policy Studies calls it a setback.
That channel was available for informal discussion between the U.S. government and North Korea to coordinate different matters. Because that channel is no longer there, what that means is that any kind of discussion or coordination between the two countries is now going to be more difficult.
Pyongyang also said matters, including the detention of two Americans involving the United States, will be handled based on wartime law. It's the latest sign of tensions following recent banned missile tests and the North's January nuclear detonation. Meanwhile, a U.S.-based website, 38 North, reports satellite imagery of last week showing heightened activity at the country's nuclear test site. British Prime Minister David Cameron said he'll officially resign Wednesday, allowing Home Secretary Theresa May to become the country's next leader. It's the latest political development since last month's historic referendum, in which British voters opted to withdraw from the European Union. May became the sole contender for office after Energy Minister Andrea Leadsom withdrew Monday. May, who originally supported remaining in the EU, said Monday in Birmingham she'll guide Britain out of the bloc and respect the will of the voters.
Brexit means Brexit, and we're going to make a success of it. There will be no attempts to remain inside the EU.
She also said she will put the Conservative Party at the service of ordinary working people so they can better share in the country's prosperity. U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter's in Afghanistan Tuesday, meeting Afghan leaders and U.S. commanders following last week's NATO summit, pledging stability in troop levels as the Taliban threat grows. Monday, Carter announced in Baghdad the U.S. would deploy hundreds of more troops to provide support and advice as Iraqi security forces prepare to retake the northern city, Mosul. Dozens of villagers in central Nigeria's Benue state have been killed by nomadic Fulani gunmen in an apparent lingering dispute over grazing rights. The violence has extended over the past 2 weeks. The number of casualties range as high as 81. Thousands of angry young people defied a curfew, taking to the streets for a third day Monday in Indian Kashmir, protesting the killing of a local separatist leader. The death toll in the arrest has climbed to more than 31. The U.S. Defense Department says it's transferring two more detainees from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, this time to the custody of Serbia. Sunday, a detainee was transferred to Italy. The departures leave 76 detainees at Guantanamo, used to hold terrorists in the wake of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.